all the sports teams that exist. Certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
Here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team, my Dallas Cowboys.
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
Hello. Good morning, Cowboys Nation. It is the 13th of July, 2024, and welcome to another episode of the World's Team. Bringing in Cowboys fans from all across the world, I am your host, Paul Stewart, and as always, I have my co-host with me. You know him as the Welsh Dragon from bloggingtheboys.com. It's no other than Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, brother?
Yeah, it's all beautiful. It's another beautiful weekend. So it's a good weekend because you're not in work. Not in work? That's a good thing. But
That's a good question, actually. Are you off on Monday?
I'm not, no.
Oh, it sucks to be you, brother. Sucks to be you.
Right, what's going on in Scotland? I know you guys have some crazy
We've got a bank holiday. Our bank holidays are completely different towards the UK. Don't understand it, but I'm just happy I'm not in work on Monday, so I'm happy.
tequila and desperados on the weekend, then.
If it's sunny, perhaps potentially. It's a good show. I will say that. In case for our American listeners and anyone outside the UK don't know what desperados are, it is a tequila-infused beer produced by Heineken, and it is absolutely amazing.
It gets you shredded.
Absolutely. you can easily drink a 12-pack of that as if it was water. Easily.
And just have the feeling of no legs.
Oh, yeah. We've certainly had that feeling way too many times in my time, that's for sure. But yes, it is the 13th of July, 2024, as we just kind of mentioned there. And we're coming up for training camp just shortly.
I know, it's exciting. It's like you have the draft, and me and you, we both love the draft. Like, the draft's one of our big things. But then, like, draft finishes, you still got a little bit to talk about as you get into May. Then all of a sudden, June and July strikes, and things start to run dry. And you're like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, if for the UK Cowboys, we do the position breakdown series each week. And, like, if we didn't do that, it's like, well, what have we got to talk about? There's not much going on. And then all of a sudden, camp hits, and you're like, oh, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true though. But there has been a good few couple of headlines that have just came out this week, and number one of all of them is that our quarterback, Dak Prescott, has been voted number one by Pro Football Network, aka PFN.
Yeah. Number one in the NFC above all the others. Brock Purdy was third. I think Jalen Hurts was fifth.
That sounds. I'm not to sound biased, but that sounds very accurate.
I would say, yeah. I mean,
especially when it comes to Jalen Hurts, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you want to put Purdy as a top three? I'm kind of like, I think was Stafford second, I believe. I could be wrong. Or Goff, maybe. But you know, it was fair. When you read it, you were kind of like, okay. Rookie quarterbacks, I think we're right near the point. It makes perfect sense. You don't, all right, you can try and say, you're like, you know, all right, they were really good in college, but until you start seeing what they can do in the pros, we've seen one before, me and you talked about it, and they had like the rookie quarterbacks as like top five quarterbacks or top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and you're like, these guys haven't even thrown a ball in the NFL. Yeah. I know what you're trying to project, and you're looking at what's there, but until you know, you can't say. It's just ridiculous to say it.
It's insane. Like, for me, like the fact that Caleb Williams has not even thrown, it's not even had a snap in the NFL, and yet he's ranked higher than the mass majority of all the quarterbacks that are well established in the NFL. It's just absolutely insanity to me. It really is. Like, can you imagine going back a couple of years back, right? And I always use this quarterback as a reference. It's Josh Rosen, right?
Like,
the guy was, like, a top 10 quarterback drafted by Arizona Cardinals, right? And, like, yeah, there was upside potential that he could be a good player. But the fact that he went from there and he went all the way crashing down and he's no longer in the league anymore. You do tend to see that with quite a lot of these first-round draft picks. If that's one thing I've stated for many years, that the draft is like the lottery where it comes to, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, you're never ever guaranteed to get your future quarterback for your franchise in the first round. I mean, there's been quarterbacks that have been picked up in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth round and have been well established. For example, Russell Wilson, who won the Super Bowl with Seattle. He's still in the league. Obviously went to Denver, now he's with Pittsburgh. You're seeing undrafted quarterbacks like the great Tony Romo. You've seen it with Dak Prescott, fourth round quarterback. It just shows that or even Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. He's now the starter for San Francisco. He's been in the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and it just really does come to show, is like being a first round draft pick for a quarterback. Yeah, there's that extended pressure on you, but again, it's never ever guaranteed that this particular player is going to be your guy, essentially.
Yeah, I think what it proves, I think, is that, you know, taking a first-round quarterback's fine, but I think what it proves more than anything, if you look at all of these teams where we talk about the quarterbacks who have been successful, you know, even when you say Tony Romo was the undrafted and he kind of came out of nowhere. But when you talk about it, really, when you stop and you look at it, why were they successful? And I think, yeah, okay, you mentioned the pressure, the first round moniker pressure. It is a thing. It does happen. Absolutely. You see some first round quarterbacks that will move from one team to another and they start to generate. Goff is a good example of that.
Goff is a great example, because for him to be in the situation where, like, yeah, he may have got to the Super Bowl with the LA Rams so many years ago where he lost to the Patriots, yes, but did he get the best use under Sean McVay? Definitely not. That's why they traded for Matthew Stafford. And when he went to the Detroit Lions, he was more better suited to that offensive scheme, better suited to how the style of those coaches, Dan Campbell, the pressure is off. And you actually got to see Jared Goff actually produce a lot more better football. Yeah, So it's the same with like some Baker Mayfield. You could argue that right now.
No, I'm with you.
Like Cleveland, like
Yeah,
I'm trying to be nice.
Just leave it with the exhale. I think the exhale said it better than anything.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters who you draft or who you bring in for the Cleveland Browns. It's still going to be the same case scenario. We're now, like, there's that discussion now with Deshaun Watson now. But yeah, I think the matter of fact is like, look, when you look at all the quarterbacks they've had in the past, like from first rounders, et cetera, and still not manage to have that key moment of success, having a playoff run, et cetera. It's like, there's a deeper line here. It's actually the actual deep roots of the team, it's the problem, not the actual players, essentially. But now you see Mayfield at Tampa Bay. He had a great stint, that brief sprint at the LA Rams. like where he just came off the plane and actually balled out for those remaining games of the season when Matthew Stafford got injured. Then that's why he got his contract with Tampa Bay. And now he's been given his new extension, I believe, with Tampa Bay. So he's the future for them for the next 4 or 5 years. So, but again, it just kind of proves the point. It's like quarterbacks are for me, depending on the quarterback, there's a preference, like style, the coaching style needs to apply to that quarterback and to get the best out of them. So
I was going to say,
however, and this is the big question, is Trey Lance.
We're going to see plenty of Trey Lance in training camp and in preseason.
I know, and this is that one I am kind of somewhat excited for, but again, I'm somewhat, what is the plan going forward? That's the big lingering question when it comes to Cowboys Nation right now. What is the future for the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to the quarterback? Obviously, as we know, like we have our sources within the Cowboys media, we do believe that the Dallas Cowboys will extend Dak during training camp. That is pretty much almost a given. But where does that leave Trey Lance, etc.? But other than that, let's talk about Trey Lance as the player. As San Francisco, did not work out really at all. Did not work out for him to come under the Dallas Cowboys to play under a similar style of quarterback under Dak Prescott. Similar build, similar stature, same type of abilities. It's all about, like, it's more up here now. Does he have the same coachability about Trey Lance that Prescott has to actually fit the mold of what Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff are looking for? So that leaves the question. But speaking about quarterbacks, Mike, when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys and quarterbacks, it's been 20 years since the Dallas Cowboys have had a losing season with a healthy quarterback.
We've seen that pop up this week. It was just a stat that came up, and they're saying that when we've had a healthy quarterback start in week one, there hasn't been a losing season in the last 20 years, which is good. I mean, so that's that gives us confidence. The question is, though, is this a team, when you look at some of the pieces where there's giant question marks, offensive line, defensive line, running back, what's going on with CeeDee Lamb, how's Trayvon Diggs going to look when he comes back? All these questions, you wonder, you're like, okay, positivity, we're going optimism, you know, let's go with the mold. But what if this is the season where that mold is broken?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just hope now that we've just kind of mentioned, we just do not jinx it. Knowing our luck, that's something always tends to happen, whether it's a defensive player or whoever or not. Like, something is like, and that's the thing about training camp. And this is where we're going to move on to the next section. But before we do that, we'll bring in our sponsor, which is Cowboys Experience.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience, the ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yes, be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com. Be sure to get in touch with the guys and use the promo code WorldsTeam2024 to receive discount on the upcoming packages for the 2024 Dallas Cowboys season. But yes, moving on to training camp though, mate. So training camp is now nearing closer. We have kind of lightly touched the subject. I know. I'm so freaking excited right now. Like, I'm really looking forward to the one-on-ones with O-line versus D-line. That is my, like, I mean, when I played football, that's the thing I love the most. Like, not so much Oklahoma drills, but when it's
Oklahoma drill.
no, it wasn't just that. But when you're going on 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, you have to really and scout work. I wasn't really a big I was a big fan of in terms of it gives you an idea of what you're anticipating for the next game, but just the idea of you and your teammates just basically going at it every single training session. I loved it. I loved the grind. I loved the battles. It was just fun. But when it comes to this train camp and being a bit like position groups, who do you feel most confident about and which ones are you most nervous about?
All right, confidence. And you, talking of jinxing, we're not allowed to use, if you remember, there was the confidence is high. We American Pie, we always used to say
Steve
that.
Stifler, yes.
Yeah, confidence is high. And then we had to stop doing it because we kept...
Was it Stifler that said that? I can't remember. No,
it's the ginger kid, isn't it?
Don't say that.
It's
Sherman? Sherman?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You can't say that, Mike. You can't say
Yeah,
that.
You're all right. You're fine. He's got ginger hair.
He's got a soul, remember?
All right, the Milky Bar Kid guy.
Oh, God. We're not talking me and myself and Irene here now. God almighty.
Yeah.
So, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're throwing a lot of pop culture, movie, comedy here into the show now. Oh, God. Anyway, mate.
Just to pull the veil back on what we're on about. Yes. A couple of years ago, we used to say on one of the shows, when we thought we were going to win, we'd be like, confidence is high. I mean, a little thing of it cut out of confidence is high. And then the Cowboys went on this run of losing players. Dak got injured. And we were like, right, we've got to stop doing this now. We're jinxing ourselves. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah, we almost brought it back because of the Eagles' downfall.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was Graham who was like, no, don't do it. And I was like, yeah, okay, good point. In terms of confidence is high, going into training camp, it has to be the safety position. Safety, and I think as well, tight end position. Tight end, strong in both senses. Mostly in terms of tight end, it's because we've got tight ends who were injured last year coming back. We're going to see what Peyton Wilson is. What's Luke Schoonmaker going to be like?
Peyton Wilson?
Peyton Hendershot, sorry.
Woo. My goodness, Mike.
I know, all over the shop. Too many names floating around. Peyton Hendershot. Yeah, so we've got, we're going to see what he can do. What's he like? What's Schoonmaker going to be like coming off injury, another year of development? What's that going to look? But obviously, it's all about Fergie. I think, he's going to be a top three tight end with the way things are going at the moment. Safety position, mostly that's down to depth. And when you look at Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson together as a tandem, wildly effective. I would like to say wide receiver position because of Brandon Cooks with a year in. What's Talbot going to be like? And then there's this battle that's going on with all these guys a little bit further down the roster that are really fighting for that wide receiver 4/3/5 position, which I think when you create a lot of competition there, that's when you get the best out of them. The only trouble with a wide receiver position is it's kind of in purgatory at the moment because we just don't know what's going on with CeeDee Lamb. Obviously, we know he's going to be with the Cowboys this year, and it's more of a case of not like if the Cowboys will give him a new contract. It's more of a case of when. But CeeDee Lamb is just such a special player, and the offense runs so much through him. That's what makes him what it is. And obviously then, if you want to go with like key position groups, I'm going to say offensive guard, not the offensive line as a whole, but guard. When you think, if we're talking guard, we're talking Smith and Martin. Mm-hmm. Those pair together, that there's confidence there. But I don't know if you've got any other different groups, cornerback, maybe.
I wouldn't. So I'm not going to use the word confident at all, or less confident. In terms of excitement, I'm going to swing the question a little bit here.
I like it.
The thing that I'm actually really excited for is to see how our defensive line as a whole is going to run under the new scheme of Mike Zimmer.
I like that.
I want to see how we're going to utilize Mazi Smith more in a certain way. And we'll get to see, like, sort of rookie Marshawn Leland, and get to see, like, some Micah Parsons, what he is looking to do under Mike Zimmer. So that, to me, brings me a bit more excitement to see where's the chess pieces going to fit? Like, how are we going to fix the jigsaw?
Make
it complete. So that I'm excited for. And obviously, again, already kind of touched on it, is the offensive line. I'm really excited about that. I'm actually quite interested to see the competition between Brock Hoffman and Cooper Beebe for the starting role, essentially. Mm. Obviously, as of right now, Brock Hoffman is like ahead in terms of the depth chart, but does not mean to say that Cooper Beebe can easily come up and actually take that spot, because we love Cooper Beebe here. We really do. Like, when we picked him up in that NFL draft, I think both me and you were super, super buzzing when it comes to that. So there is a bit of a high expectation from Beebe when he does get his start, his opportunity, for sure. But looking at the offensive line as well, you've got a rookie, Tyler Guyton. I'm really excited to see how he's going to transfer from the right side of the offensive line to the left-hand side of the offensive line. Even though he's stated time and time over saying he prefers playing on the left, he feels that's more of a strong point. I'm excited. Apprehensive about. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
It's actually the running back position, if I'm
being honest. Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah, because even though we brought Ezekiel Elliott back, which is great, it's going to give that extra layer of protection for Dak Prescott when it comes to the pass protection. And I've always said that, Ezekiel Elliott is one of the best pass protecting last line of defenses in terms of your, as a running back in the NFL. Yeah. The amount of times that Ezekiel Elliott has actually protected Dak from getting absolutely clobbered from likes of J.J. Watt and etc. all these big name defensive edge rushers across the league since 2016 is ridiculous. So I'm a wee bit but I'm more apprehensive how we're going to utilize the run game. And this is going to be the tale. It's going to be linked with how our offensive line are going to evolve. Are we going to get back to that smash mouth football, like offensive line creating those gaps, especially in the inside run? And this is what you're talking about when it comes to like Zach Martin and Tyler Smith, the inside guys. And is Brock Hoffman the man to do the job, or is Cooper Beebe going to be the man to do the job? So a lot of focus is going to be on there to see, can these guys actually create the room and the lanes for the likes of Zeke, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, or even Royce Freeman, which is, let's be honest, is very unlikely. But who knows? Anything can happen in training camp. So there's a lot of question marks to be there, a lot of things to be excited for, but it's just going to be, it's all part of the process. You're going to see players go up and down in terms of how coaches see them and stuff like that. You're going to see some standout moments from rookies. You're going to see veterans, do they still have it in the gas tank? There's going to be all these questions are going to be thrown about when it comes to training camp, and that's what it's here for.
Yeah, I think what the tell is going to be, I think, is going to be looking at who's running with the firsts, watching snap counts, who's taking a lot of snaps, and who's doing the most. I think that's going to be telling in sort of how they're going to be pushing this thing. Unfortunately, I think the first week when we played the Cleveland Browns week one, I think that's going to be a bad game to judge the running back by committee on. Only because...
I agree.
I think you're going to see some disjointed snap counts, because Zeke's going to be on a little bit more because you've got two rookie offensive linemen. Whether it's, you've got Guyton, he's starting. The other guy, whether it's Hoffman or it's Beebe, that, let's call Brock Hoffman what he is. If he does start the season, this is first year. So that's his rookie season. I know his rookie season.
Essentially.
And, yeah. You know,
and, And kudos to Brock Hoffman, who was on the Cowboys Up podcast the other week there. Like, he made a really interesting discussion about he likes to trash talk. And I have to admit, that's the type of thing I would love to see offensive linemen do, is actually get into the
defense.
It's the attitude. I'm all there for that. So, like, and we obviously with last year, Brock Hoffman and Sam Williams got into a bit of a tuffle. And obviously, at the time, Tyler Biadasz came out of nowhere. And then the whole, then a fight kind of broke out within training camp and obviously it was separated and stuff like that. So, but that's the thing though, mate. Are we expecting to see any fights this year?
We got,
okay, let's do a bet. I am going to say there's going to be at least three scruffles, not fights, but there's going to be three altercations in this year's training camp.
They've got a, I believe it's the Rams. They have a joint
scrimmage
session with them. Yeah, it's
called the scrimmage.
Just before they break up for camp. This could be. There's at least two fights there. two breakouts. You know,
It will be the same with the Chargers as well. I believe we've got them as well.
It might be the Chargers, not the Rams. You're probably right there. It's the one of the LA teams.
Yeah, it's one of the LA teams. We've got a scrimmage with, and we've got the games with them as well. So
yeah,
very interesting to see. But
going I'll back tell you to another one. I was going to say though, another position I'm apprehensive of, and I know you mentioned it already about with Mazi, but what I'm thinking, I'm apprehensive on is the three tech position more specifically. I mean, really? Osa, and that's it.
Yeah, it seems to be he's the only guy we've got. Really, I mean, we do have Chauncey Goldston. Whether, like, and that's that kind of leads the question, though, mate. Like, if we decide to fix Goldston at the free tech position, obviously you may have to pack, like, maintain his size
because he
has put on more weight, obviously, because he has kind of become that more hybrid player under Dan Quinn. He can play in the outside and he can play the free tech. If I'm being perfectly honest, we have seen more of a highlight reel with him playing on the free tech in of all the times we've actually seen him play.
So
I think the chance is there, but it's really up to Chauncey to really step it up, to really say, right, I deserve to be a part of this team. Because, but then again, he's not really got much competition chasing after him beyond Osa. So
that's the problem.
Because we've got likes of Carl Davis, Justin Rogers, but to me, Justin Rogers is another one tech or a zero.
Justin Rogers is Mazi's replacement, and Mazi is Hankins' replacement.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got Denzel Daxon. Like, I don't know if all these guys are gonna are gonna make it, but we're definitely gonna keep at least four of those guys.
Daxon will get onto the practice squad, and because he's under the IPP rules, he becomes a freebie.
Yeah,
he's a freebie essentially.
But then again, there is going to be other players that will just come out of nowhere, just in the edge of training camp. There is that, like, ones that haven't been accounted for. I mean, I'm just looking up the depth chart right now on ESPN.com right now.
The other thing I think you got to watch for is, and I think this will definitely happen, is maybe after the first or perhaps the second preseason game, the Cowboys will look at that defensive line. They will look at the defensive tackle position, and I think they'll go into the free agency or look at players that have been dropped from other teams.
Yeah. I think that will be a potential look for sure, depending on how effective depending how Justin Rogers kind of steps up to be that backup role, depends how Goldston is behind Osa. It really depends how we see that. But then again, we could be all entirely wrong here, mate. Mike Zimmer might actually have a different point of view, because then again, he's the guy who's actually on the field, and we're the ones that are just kind of overseeing it from watching footage of it. So he's getting the more hands-on approach, getting to know these players, get to know them, their X, the ticks, and everything. What drives them, what demotivates them. So he's there, and then day in, day out with those guys. So Do I have every confidence that we're going to make the right decision under Zimmer in terms of the defense? Without a shadow of a doubt. If there's one thing I always keep saying to people is if you want to know what Mike Zimmer is like as a coach, especially a defensive coordinator, go back and watch the Hard Knocks season under the Cincinnati Bengals where Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator. Like, this is the type of thing that the Dallas Cowboys needs as of right now in terms of our defense, that no BS attitude.
A shouter.
Yeah, a shouter. Tell you straight away to get your head out of your backside and get on with it. Like, there's no cradling saying, oh yeah, you're going to get in the next play. Don't, like, there's no softball in here. There's no like patting in the back, anything. It's tough love is what we're getting. That's the best way to describe it. You're going to get tough love from Mike Zimmer, and I am all here for that.
Definitely. When it comes to defensive players, you've got to have that because, you know, they do get tired. They get run down and they're getting beaten up over there. Have a guy screaming in your face, you know, gets you fired up.
Yeah. Speaking of where we're still in the discussion of training camp and talking about positions and stuff like that, Marquise Bell, there is a lot of debate as of right now. Just from the general consensus, is obviously he had to fill in to play linebacker last year, but he is a safety. But the question is, with the safety being very deep right now and the linebacker being so thin, where do we situate ourselves with Marquise Bell?
Yeah, that is a tricky one. I mean, like, the thing is you're going to have your two safeties out there on the regular in the Zimmer system. So I think more than anything, the answer to that question is that you've already mentioned, you know, the most important part of where Bell plays is literally down to Zimmer. And Zimmer needs to be creative here because we know what we know Bell is a good player. We've seen it now. We knew before he was playing last season and filling in for LVE was a good player. We were excited about the Cowboys picking up. But it's down to Zimmer to find ways to get him on the field, to find ways to give him a defined role of whatever that is, whether it's the J-Ron Curse role, perhaps. Don't know.
I don't think that's going to be the case anymore because, like, Curse was pretty much that type of hybrid. And, like, Bell, and to a certain degree can be a hybrid, but he is not a linebacker in terms of, like, he does get into the position well. He can tackle in terms of technique, but the thing that lacks him down is size and strength.
Size, because you're getting a pummeling.
Yeah, like, especially if you're trying to stop the run, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you're in the linebacker, and especially, like, I can't imagine Bell being that light blitz linebacker, for example, him going up against, trying to squeeze into an A gap or B gap of the offensive line when it comes to a blitz. I just do not see that happening. So, for me, having, like, a Bell back in the safety position, because we've got Hooker, we've got Donovan Wilson, there is the question of Israel Mukwamu, though. That leads to, like, we had discussions before on our other podcast with the UK, on the UK Cowboys. It's like, what do we do with Mukwamu? Because Mukwamu is a specimen. To me, I would put him back in the cornerback position, if anything, and let Bell take that spot, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
You've got two good safeties as backups. You've got Bell and Juanier Thomas. So they're both kind of competing. I think Bell is kind of ahead here, you know, because of what he did last year. But you're right, you know, because you've still got Izzy there. Izzy hasn't really come to fruition. He hasn't shone. He's had moments, you know, where they kind of, like, at the end of, not last season, season before, gave him a few snaps of quarterback, cornerback, and it looked okay. It was sketchy at times, but, you know, you're like, all right. So it can work, especially when you think Nashawn Wright is also on deck. So you're looking at the Zimmer system, how does Nashawn Wright fit? And you kind of, like, squint really hard and still struggle to see how it works. So what if Israel Mukwamu is the guy that can take the Nation Wright cornerback role or position in that depth chart. There's the moves that you can make there.
It just leads a lot of questions, and we will find that out during training camp, without a shadow of a doubt. But yes, folks, that is the end of this week's episode of the World's Team. Be sure to check us out next week as we will be back. And but before we do go, please follow us on social media. You can follow us at the World's Team on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, X, Instagram, all the above. But before we do go, Mike, please tell us where everyone can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Kenfig Cowboy, Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K. And what about you, Paul? Where can they find you?
Yes, guys, you can find me at I Am P-Stu on Instagram and X. But yes, that is it for this week's show, folks. We will be back next week, and we'll be covering more of the training camp shenanigans, all the latest news, and hopefully soon we can get some more special guests, try and bring some of the fan bases from all across the world, from Germany, some of the guys from France, more guys from the try and bring guys from Canada, like you name it. So we're gonna try and bring all the fan groups onto the show at some point. So be stay tuned, but like we see here on this show of the World's Team, it's not just America's team, it's the World's Team. See you next week.
You've been listening to the World's Team podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. On Twitter at the_worlds_team. And on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.